afternoon. Welcome in, WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcand, Andy Hart, and you at 617-779-7937. Nice to have you with us here today. How you doing, Andy?
I am tremendous in the midst of the Drake May era.
Yes. It broke yesterday during our show. We've all had about, I don't know, 22-ish hours to digest the news, to hear more from Gerard Mayo. We heard from Drake May today. We'll play that for you in just a few minutes here. I thought that quote there was interesting about how Drake giving us the best chance to win, which was exactly what he said about Jacoby Brissett over and over again, week after week after week. And then suddenly light dawns on the coaching staff over there, ownership group over there. I don't know. You tell me, front office, everyone. And the decision gets made for Drake May, which Mayo also claimed was his decision and his decision alone. Now, let's start there because I think that those are two of the important things that he mentioned in his remarks, and we'll play some more of that, including when he told the team. We'll hear from Drake May about what this opportunity means to him and everything else. We have some other Mayo sound as well, and we'll get to the Bruins game last night, that awful, awful Bruins game last night, which I have lots of thoughts on, and thank God they signed Swayman. But first, let's start with Gerard Mayo, Drake May, giving them the best chance to win and it being his decision. First of all, do you believe, how much of that do you believe? 100%, 50%, 0%?
50%. Okay. I think it's half his decision. First of all, I think the gives us the best chance to win feels like it's becoming his version of in the best interest of the football team.
Yeah.
Bills fallback.
It is what it is.
Like, I feel like any decision now he makes, okay, we benched Stevenson. We felt like it gave us the best chance to win, right? And there's such a vagueness to it. It works just like Belichick did for so long. The decision, I don't think there's any way it's solely his decision. And I don't know that it should be. We've talked a little bit about this when we were debating this all along the way. Mm-hmm. There's a direction of a franchise that is affected. So that brings in kind of ownership level, the most valuable draft pick in the Kraft era. So that brings in the ownership level.
Yep.
There's the guy who made that pack, that pick, Elliott Wolf, whose career could hinge on it. There's an offensive coordinator who late in life got his first opportunity, so certainly his career hinges on it.
Yep.
So and you built an organization on the C word, collaboration. And now I'm supposed to believe that it's turned into a dictatorship, a Bill Belichick type. Nope, I made the decision. I don't care what all y'all think, whether you sit higher than me or lower than me. Don't care what you think. I'm making the decision. I don't believe that. And it's fine because that's not who you are now. It's not who you are as an organization now. But you also got to the right decision that I've been asking for 5 weeks. So I'm not going to bitch about who made the decision. I'm just glad you finally made the freaking decision.
I'm glad they made the decision, too. I hear Gerard Mayo say that, and I think he's saying it to try and convince himself and maybe the people in that room that what he's saying is true about whose decision it was, not about Drake giving him the best chance to win. I think we all agree with that. I think that's basically a certainty at this point. If at the end of this game this weekend, the collective thought is, wow, Jacoby Brissett would have given him a better chance to win that game, that's maybe rock bottom of this franchise, like I would say. Like, that's the worst possible outcome, is if the game comes, all four quarters are over, and you look at it and you go, man, if Jacoby Brissett was playing, they would have had a better chance to win that game. That would be a tough thing. And listen, it's not like I would say, all right, put him in the next week, but that would be probably the worst possible outcome. And that's avoiding an injury.
Look at you, talk radio guy, going to the worst possible outcome.
Well, I'm just saying.
How about we flip the script and go to the best possible outcome?
Why don't you just be quiet for a second? Let me finish my thought here.
Well, why'd you go negative in the first 5 minutes of the show?
Because we're talking about getting the best chance to win and who gives them the best chance to win. And I'm saying
Drake May.
That Drake May does. I just said that literally 2 seconds ago, and that the worst case scenario would be look back at the game and think, man, Drake May didn't give us the best chance to win that game. That's all. It's a very slim thing, and I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think anybody thinks that that's going to happen, but that's something that he's been saying all season long, 5 straight weeks. Jacoby Brissett gives us a better chance to win. That's been the company line. That's what he said, and we all know he's been lying about it, but it makes it sort of hard to take this seriously. It makes it hard to take any of the better chance to win comments seriously when he says stuff
like
this.
Well, yeah, I ignore it. Anytime anyone says something over and over, despite changing facts or changing circumstances, I just ignore it. I don't care whether you're a politician, a doctor. Like, if I go to the doctor and he gives me the same answer when my leg hurts, as my head hurts, as my sniffles, as my cough, and he says the same thing, then don't I go, well, this guy's a quack. He's not even listening. He's not even looking. He's just giving me the same answer every time.
Right.
So when you tell me he gives us the best chance to win, just like you were telling me the other guy did, I ignore it. I just go back to what I see and what I feel and what I hear, because there's plenty we've heard, not from him. There's plenty we've heard from people that don't say the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty that we've heard from Hunter Henry the way he was reacting on Jones and Keefe to a question about Drake May. And those are the things that, to me, have value. Coaches just speak to control the situation, guide the message. I don't even know what you want to call it now, but it's meaningless banter. The reality is, this is what should have happened all along. Young quarterbacks need experience. Now, do I think there's a chance, if we're going to delve into the negative, is there a chance that he doesn't give them the best chance to win on Sunday? Absolutely. He could get. He admitted to it. You know what I love?
I watched 5 weeks of Jacoby Brissett, and I think that's a hard thing for
me. But he didn't throw three picks. And
it doesn't
there's
matter.
A chance
I'm talking
that
about
he,
a chance to win.
No, but if you...
Jacoby Brissett can't lead a drive. Like, he can't get in the end zone. Like, you can't win if you
if
don't
you
score
a touchdown. If you lose 16-10 to the Texans and Drake May throws three picks, then you could make an argument that Jacoby Brissett would have given you a better chance. Because those three giveaways, maybe they turned two of them into field goals, three of them into field goals. Like, you, there is definitely a scenario where you could make that argument.
There is.
It's basically turnover driven.
Right.
If he really craps himself, and he admitted... I loved his press conference. Maybe I'm the biggest rump swab for Drake May ever. I thought from not sitting down, standing up like he was his own man, doing it his own way, to admitting he told the team, I'm going to be nervous when we go out there on Sunday, and then I'll settle in, right? But if he doesn't settle in, if he's nervous and the ball slips out, those famous clips in the old days where the guys go to throw the forward pass and it's just like, whoop,
right out of
his hand. And, you know, if Will Anderson scoops and scores it, you go, huh. Bet you Jacoby Brissett wouldn't have done that. He might
probably
have got sacked,
not.
But he wouldn't have dropped the ball. So is there a scenario where he craps himself? Sure. Do I think it's likely through a 60-minute game? No, I do not think that is likely. I think we're going to come out on the end and see snippets of what everyone has been seeing behind the scenes, and that's development and growth. Today, one of the Mayo's answers was like, what does he bring? Arm strength and athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
He can't screw those up, can he?
Well,
those
no.
are like, right? I mean... Those are inherent in his game.
Yeah.
I don't know if he can read the defense. I don't know if he sees the blitz. I don't know if he sets the protection.
You can use your arm and try and make throws that you shouldn't make.
Sure.
You can try and run around and hurdle people and do, you know, athletic stuff.
I'm all for it.
Smart to do. You know, you try and hurdle somebody and you get knocked out of the game. Like, that could happen. But in general, no. I mean, those are good things.
And didn't we talk about that yesterday? I'm kind of all for those things where maybe he shows off his athleticism or his arm strength on a stupid play, so that he goes, okay, so I shouldn't do that again. Like, there's certain times that'll be called for my arm strength and my athleticism. That wasn't one of them. But just right there, arm strength and athleticism, it's an upgrade. And a lot of people believe those two things are part of modern quarterback. You can't play the position, right? We had Bailey Zappi, we had Mac Jones, who had no arm strength and no athleticism. They chose to go in a very different direction. They have two rookie quarterbacks on this team. What do they have?
Arm strength and athleticism.
So I think they prioritize those two things that are strengths, and they're putting them on display.
Yeah, I agree. And that looks like the idea for this team. And in that vein, it's sort of interesting how they went 5 weeks with Jacoby Brissett, who's not, I mean, he's not got a terrible arm. Like, Brissett can throw it down the field. It's not like he's got a bad arm.
It's fine.
And it's not like he's not athletic. He can get away from the rush and stuff. But, you know, we're not talking about a dynamic player in Jacoby Brissett. I think that's clear.
What did Gerard call him the first week? The slowest black quarterback in the NFL or something like that?
He did.
And that was by far, he teased us.
Right.
We all saw that game and was like, are we underrating his running ability, his escapability, his fluidity as an athlete?
And I think in general, he'd read the blitz and the pocket pretty well in this 5 weeks. I think that was one of the few things he did.
He held on to the ball too much.
Sometimes, yes, but when he needed to get away from it early on, when they were really having trouble with the O-line. Once the O-line got better, he got worse, which is weird. I think that's, you know, because like in the first 2 weeks, that offensive line was just a mishmash of nonsense. And then as it sort of stabilized over the last 2 weeks, he held on to the ball too long, and his weaknesses as a quarterback, I think, got more exposed. Drake May did speak today. He talked about the opportunity that he had to prove people wrong. And I was thinking about this because which people do you think he's talking about here? Here's Drake May.
Yeah, I think just really just what comes with, you know, kind of learning, you know, the NFL quarterback and kind of what comes with, you know, really the title, you know, handling leadership, learning from Jacoby, what he's done. He's a great leader. Guy's, you know, our biggest leaders on the team. How, you know, the verbiage of, you know, calling the huddles, just had, you know, a first walkthrough and, you know, felt pretty good with the verbiage there. So other than that, just excited for these guys. You know, I think it's an opportunity against a good football team to go out there and, you know, prove people wrong.
All right. Mm. So when he says prove people wrong, I think he means like that we suck, like that we're a bad team. But I also think he's talking about the people who said that you shouldn't play. You can't go out there. This team's not good enough to support a rookie quarterback. And he wants to prove those people wrong. And he may not be able to because those people might be right. You know, like they might be right. This team, they can't protect them on the line. The guys can't run the right routes. They can't separate. They can't catch the ball when he delivers it to them, like all that stuff. That could happen. But to prove them wrong, he has to go out there and show them. And it's finally happening.
What if he was talking to his head coach, his offense coordinator, his owner, and his general manager, the people that didn't think he was ready to play in week one?
Do you think all those people didn't think he was ready to play in week one?
No. I actually think his head coach thought he was ready to play in week one when we go back to the debate of who made the decision and how the decisions. I don't know why we all do this. What's the evidence? Now, I think we all put Alex Van Pelt in the plan category because he, every time he spoke, he was the most definitive, I felt like, about, you know, there's so much that goes into developing a quarterback and you got to take your time and blah, 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 blah. And we sort of like, oh, yeah, he's slow playing it. He wants him to not. As for Elliott Wolf, he had the comments to Andrew Callahan. The worst thing in the world is to put him out there when he's not ready and then have to pull him back out. I don't know. Is it the worst thing in the world? Is that really the worst thing in the world? I don't think it's that big a deal. It's a learning experience. But I do think I like that talk, prove people wrong. That's what I think he is. We talked about it even in the summer when some of his practices weren't great, and then we were like, maybe he's a game-time kind of guy. Maybe he's just a competitor.
Right.
I think he is a true competitor. I think you're going to see a competitor on the football field, and I think this team could use that because you know what? That snowballs. If they see him doing things, and by they I mean Pop Douglas and Hunter Henry and all these guys around him, I think there will be value for the rest of the team in seeing him kind of compete. Because Jacoby, great respect, but he was kind of a piñata. Like, he showed his toughness by just standing there and taking hits.
Right.
I'd like to see
and
some...
And throwing passes in the face of, like, of getting hit. I agree.
But if you
that,
can do it in a more aggressive way, in a forward-thinking kind of way, maybe a Josh Allen kind of run. Actually, Jacoby had one this week where he ran and kind of led forward with the shoulder, didn't do the whole slide thing.
Right.
But I think that youthful competitive nature that he brings is going to be a positive for this offense and just the vibe around the unit as a whole.
Yeah, there's going to be excitement. We'll see how long it lasts for. I mean, these things can fizzle out pretty quickly, as we saw in week one. You know, a lot of excitement after beating Cincinnati. That was a game no one expected them to win. And then 2 weeks later, all of a sudden, we're back being the worst team in the league again, and that hasn't changed. So as much as I'd like, and that goes for the other way, too. Like, if May goes out and has a bad game, we'll talk about it for a couple of days. And then if he goes out and plays well against Jacksonville in England, then all of a sudden, you know, parades back on.
Oh, so, we're like, going to analyze it objectively. If he sucks, he sucks.
A bit of a roller coaster, I think. I don't think you're going to get one consistent upwards trend or downwards trend. I think you're going to see some dips and valleys here.
And I think you're probably going to see that with the new measuring stick right now is Jaden Daniels, right? He's the stud. He's special. He's turned things around. There are some low days coming for him. I'd virtually guarantee it. What I don't understand is why right now, literally this week, he was announced that he's going to start. He hasn't made his first start yet. Why you'd be negative right now? For example, the 603. 603 says, I can't wait to see Drake fall and fall flat on his face and watch you guys on this station scramble to come up with excuses why he sucks. Why? Unless you're not a Patriots fan, 603. If you're a Jets fan or you're a something else fan, a Giants fan, whatever, that's fine. You should be rooting for Drake May to fail.
But
if you're a Patriots fan, why would you be anything but excited?
Can't wait for the franchise quarterback to not be good. That's weird.
It's like people want to, like, they didn't like the pick, so now they're rooting for the pick to fail.
I didn't like the pick, and I want him to play, and I want him to be good.
Because you're a Patriots fan.
Right.
So even if you didn't like the pick.
And it's more interesting for our show if he's good. That's 100%.
And you're stuck with him. So wouldn't you rather have him succeed than,
I was right about that. He sucks. I showed you. So now we need another quarterback.
This is the
week. I would
like
to be able to go on the air and say, I told you so. I do enjoy doing that, but that would only last for like one show, and then we're stuck with a crappy quarterback for the rest of the year, and that's not worth it necessarily.
Wouldn't you rather be wrong and have Joe Burrow?
Yes.
And be like, we have a franchise quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years. And I think there are so few things in the. You and I proved it. Swayman had a knockdown, drag-out fight about Swayman.
Mm-hmm.
Or Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. There are so few things in the sports world where I feel like everybody at the same time can just be all in. The Red Sox. Some people think this is going to be a great offseason. Some people are cynical. Right?
Like, some people are right and realistic.
But for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning, shouldn't you be excited about Drake May and the idea that he might be great, he might be special? We might be saying the first game of the next great era of Patriots. Why would you be negative right now?
You want to know what I did yesterday? I bought my son a Drake May jersey at Target.
Awesome.
In 4T.
You should.
And I am he's going to wear it this weekend, and it is going to be awesome.
Isn't that what it should be right now?
Yes, it is.
Isn't that what you do? Impulse purchase. Buy a Drake May jersey. The red one. I'm excited. He's going to be this. He's going to be that.
It was not the red one.
He might suck. And we'll have plenty of time to talk about how he sucks if he actually sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But in this lead up, there are these people on the text line. There are these people in town that are like preaching negativity about, oh, this is stupid, this, that. No, no, no. It's happening.
Some of them are the Belichick loyalists, right? Because the Belichick loyalists all season long have been like, you watch, you're going to wish you didn't fire him, blah, 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 blah. I'm glad they're losing. Now you see what you lost with Bill Belichick. I don't know how that applies to Drake May necessarily.
Yeah.
Like, the reason why you were able to pick Drake May at three is because of the job Belichick did and sure. how bad the team was and how much you sucked. And that's why you were picking at three, and that's why you needed a quarterback. And by the way, he drafted the last quarterback and then ruined them, and et cetera. So, like, we don't have to go back down that road. But that's – I don't understand this. I don't understand wanting Drake May not to do well. It's one thing for Mayo and Van Pelt and those guys because you're just so loyal to Bill Belichick. I don't agree with that, but at least I understand it. I don't understand this.
And there's also, unless I miss something, no reason to dislike him. Has he done anything like off the field? He doesn't have a, what was that, 99%er tattoo or like...
Oh, the 3%er?
Yeah, 3%er.
Right, right, yeah.
Like, is there any... Even
Mac
Swayman...
Mac had like a DUI in college or something? Like, yeah,
and
I don't
Mac came off as kind
him.
Of a rich... dinky kid.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of rubbed people the wrong way with his personality at times. Or Swayman, the way he handled his business. I can see little offshoots of, I don't really like this guy. Is there any reason to not like Drake May right
Unless
now?
You just don't like Southerners. Unless you don't like excitable
what
Southern
are we in
people.
The Civil War or
I'm
something
just saying,
now? It's
some
North
people,
versus South?
Those people don't like us, I'll tell you that. Those people down there don't like us Yankees, that's for sure. But either way, there's not a lot of reasons not to like
I think we are in a rare time for these next 4 or 5 days where everybody in the sports world in Boston should be excited and anticipating the debut of Drake May. Because once it happens... then we're going to have evidence. Then he might give you reason to doubt him or dislike him, whatever. But for now, it's only optimism. This is the time where this is like the preseason. The season hasn't started yet, and everybody thinks they're a champion, right? Everybody's 0-0. Mm-hmm. Drake May has not made a single mistake, correct? Not made a single mistake.
No.
It's ready for plays. It's ready for excitement. I don't get the negativity that some people have.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really either. I think that maybe you could be negative about the fact that it took this long to put him in. You
sure.
You could maybe say that.
But
well,
that's kind of a positive.
What are we doing here now? It's week five. This is annoying. The season's already... It's not a positive because the season's already down the crapper, basically, at this point. And now you're putting him in like that. I could see how that would...
That means
people.
You like him.
Right. It means you like him, but you wanted him to start week one
sure.
and have a chance of the season.
That's not.
And now you don't have one.
This is some people like rooting for him to fail. It's the wrong time. He's
right.
going to break. It's the, oh, it's going to go so wrong. I can't wait till he tears his ACL and we have this. Like, what is wrong with you people?
That's weird.
Enjoy this.
That's definitely weird.
When was the last time you had this? Like, you haven't had this in a while.
It's true.
And some of it was because you had a great quarterback for a long period
for
of 20
time. 20 plus years.
Like,
yeah, I mean.
I mean. What you thought
like
when
the Jets here waiting for that one guy, like, you know,
right.
you had that one guy for a while.
Unfortunately,
so.
For a lot of those teams, you get excited and then it doesn't pay off and you have to get excited about a different guy and it doesn't pay off.
True.
And, but this is your chance to maybe turn things around.
Yep. You mentioned the timeline. Gerard Mayo talked about when he informed the team of this move and how it all went down.
I told the team this morning, you know, look, these guys are on social media and all that stuff as well. And like I said, we had a conversation with Jacoby and Drake the night prior. But I told the team this morning in the same way that the full weight of the organization was behind Jacoby at the time. I expect the same thing, the full weight of the organization to be behind Drake no matter what.
Told the team this morning, they were like, yeah, we know, coach.
Yeah, we have social media.
It was sort of everywhere. It was like...
Heard it on the radio.
It was leading the news tonight. Like, they all watch the news, I'm sure. But, like, you know, that was all right. You didn't really need to inform us of this. I think we all knew. And, yeah, the timing of it as well. Mayo at the very end said he was disappointed that the news leaked out the way it did.
Yeah, but is he...
No, but that's interesting because who leaked the news?
That's great. Well... I had my whole theory.
It obviously wasn't him if he was disappointed that it leaked out.
Or was it? Because the best way to get the scent off your trail.
I don't think it was.
I don't really think it was either.
I think it was someone over his head, and I think him saying he was disappointed was maybe a shot at whoever leaked it.
Probably.
which I think is interesting. I mean, I just think that's a...
Well, maybe they're still snuffing out that Jeremy Fowler source. Remember the Jeremy Fowler Bentley's going to play on Thursday, and then he went on IR and he's never playing again?
Flushing out the rat, yeah.
Maybe they're trying to still figure out who the rat is in the organization.
Certainly could be. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We'll get to your phone calls right after we hear what's trending from Stiz and Dan Orlovsky on ESPN yesterday. Very much against this move. Here's Stiz with what's trending. That was Dan Orlovsky, a.k.a. Buzz Killington there with his take on why it's the wrong time to play Drake May. And listen, what he was saying about the team, none of that's incorrect. Like, very bad offensive line, not good receivers, not good separation, not great at catching passes. All of that's true. But this is the team that you have. This is what you're dealing with. This is it. And there's not going to be a perfect time this year. Orlovsky said that they should maybe redshirt two seasons before they actually put him in. And I think when people do that, it's more a commentary on what this team is, what Belichick left it as, what Elliott Wolf did or didn't do in the offseason to improve it, all of that. There's doubters out there. There's doubters of Drake May. There's doubters of the team and that Drake May is going to be able to elevate them. And I think that there's some merit to that. I mean, there's been other rookie quarterbacks who weren't able to elevate bad teams over the years. You know, there's a whole list of them we can get to. Some who were good right away, some who played right away and were not good, some who didn't play right away and were good, and the opposite of that as well. So there's all sorts of different examples. Part of me thinks that, like, with the law of averages, you got three rookie quarterbacks in the league right now. They're all pretty good. You're kind of due for, like, a bad rookie quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, one of these guys is due to kind of suck. And so far, I mean, I don't think Nix is going to be some superstar. I think Daniels might be. And I think Williams has potential. Maybe he could be someday. He's not yet. But so far, all three of those guys look pretty good. They look a lot better than, you know, the last five QB draft in the first round, which was Trevor Lawrence and Mac Jones and Justin Fields and all those guys, Trey Lance and Zach Wilson. All those guys kind of sucked in their first year except Mac. And now it's like they're all kind of good, except for the guys who aren't playing, obviously, or who's injured. And now here's Drake May. And just law of averages, I don't know, what have you maybe thinking, if one of these guys was going to suck, it's probably this guy on the terrible team.
What if we take the law of averages, though, to beyond years?
Okay.
So let's just say over the course of years, maybe there's due a really great quarterback class to balance out some of those really putrid where all of the quarterbacks weren't very good.
Sure, and right? I think you could say in 2019 that's what you had there with Burrow and Tua and Herbert, yeah, and those guys. I mean, that's where it wouldn't that be the...
But then 21 is a weird one because there's all the question, like Mac and all these guys and right. Trevor Lawrence, people aren't sure whether they think he's good or not or worth the money. I'm just saying there's a way to spin it that way. I would also say, I thought coming in there were three franchise quarterbacks. I firmly believed my whole offseason.
2020, not 2019.
I know you differed on all of this, that you didn't really love any of them. You thought this was kind of overrated in the spring.
I did think so. I thought it was going to be more like 2021 than 2020.
Because I argued whoever falls to three, take him, because there's three franchise quarterbacks. I didn't really care who it was. Now, Bo Nix is the... I didn't think he was that good.
Mm-hmm.
And he may not be. He's benefiting from experience. He might be benefiting from Sean Payton, because there's still a lot of people that think Sean Payton is a pretty high-end play call or mm-hmm. offensive mind scheme. So, yeah. And plus, law of averages don't matter. Like, the reality
true,
is
yeah,
he's either
really
good or not good.
Yeah,
right?
He's good or he's not.
The one question I have, which seems to be altering things, is this idea that how many quarterbacks that are actually good quarterbacks are broken? And it's like maybe they were just bad.
Right.
They were going to break no matter what. Now, we're trying to shift some of that narrative with guys like Sam Darnold, who was broken, right? Seeing ghosts. He's the ultimate broken quarterback who is now leading arguably the best team in football.
Mm-hmm.
And some people think could be like an MVP candidate with
yep.
Kevin O'Connell.
Sure.
And even Baker Mayfield. Bounced around, had some ups and downs in Cleveland, then bounced in Carolina and the Rams, the whole thing.
And Baker didn't start right away. He sat the first 3 weeks behind Tyrod Taylor. A lot of people say, oh, yeah, he got in there, started right, right away. Not true. He didn't start the
and
week
And he was
before.
Good.
Yeah.
Didn't he have, like, 28 touchdowns or something?
Yeah, he won seven games that year.
Remember he did the yeah. commercial with Brady where they were, like, it was, like, almost a passing of the torch commercial
right.
for NFL 100 or something like that. But these guys that bounce around were getting some new, even Geno Smith, to some degree, and his, you know, reclamation later in his career
yeah.
is changing it. Because for the most part, we always had guys good or guys stinks, right? Like, they kind of made a divide relatively early in their career, and mm-hmm. we stuck with it. Now it feels like there's these more layered stories of quarterback development. But The bottom line is they were three franchise quarterbacks in the draft. I'm sticking with it. Two of them have already shown they might be franchise quarterbacks. And on Sunday, the third will begin that process.
617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go out to the phones. Coach is in New Hampshire. He's got a thought on the offensive coordinator and the play calling. Go ahead, Coach.
Yes, before I get to that, another quick point.
Mm-hmm.
Three organizations, the Bears, the Broncos, and the Commanders, decided to go with their rookie quarterback, and collectively, as we all know, they're 10-5. It's almost arrogance to me that the Patriots still think they're their smartest coaches, smartest organization in the room, to kind of do it their way. Their way has us off to a 1-4 start. Okay, my second point. If I'm a defensive coordinator in the NFL, based on the offense I'm looking at for the New England Patriots, I put all 12 players in the rectangular box that's no deeper than 10 yards deep and obviously 53.5 yards wide.
Mm-hmm.
It is ridiculous. Oh, maybe you have to cover a sliver of the sideline when we take an occasional throw out of bounds throw. Our offense, it's not only really not well coordinated, but we do not, think about it, we do not attack the middle of the football field beyond 10 yards.
Not true, Coach. They attacked the middle of the field with time running out and no timeouts at the end of the game. They were right in the middle of that field. No one could get a hand on anybody in the middle of that field. That's true, and I'm being sarcastic, obviously, but that I did notice that in that last game. Everything was on the sidelines, mm-hmm. and Brissett just couldn't put the ball there. So, like, you know, we'll see if that ends up being what they continue to do. I thought the other part of his call was interesting, too. The Patriots always did have sort of this air during the Belichick years of our way's better, we know what we're doing, you guys don't know what you're doing, and this yep. is how it is. I feel like that left with Belichick. I don't think that this group has that. They have their plan, obviously, and it's different from the way the Bears and the Commanders and the Broncos are all doing it, sure. And different from what the Falcons did. The Falcons spent and also drafted a quarterback, so they did everything. They did all the things. But, like, I don't look at the Patriots now as thinking we're so much smarter than everybody else the way we're doing our quarterback. It's we don't know what we're doing, so we're going to take our time. That's more what it seems like to me.
Yeah. That was a question that I've had. Do you believe there was a plan?
Yes.
Like, when and what? Like,
I don't know if there was an exact date, but I do think that the plan was to ride Brissett as long as you possibly can and until it was just untenable and you were on the verge of a mutiny in the locker room or whatever, and there was no other choice but to put the kid in. I think that was the plan.
Yeah, I'm not even sure there was a plan.
You don't even think that was the plan?
I think Brissett was here in case we need to ride him as long as we can.
Well, then they did.
Like, I think they were flying by the seat of their pants, quite honestly. And I'm not saying that's a terrible idea. I actually think that's what coaching is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come in with a loose structure, but if one is really bad or one is, you know what I mean? Adjust right. on the fly. Isn't that coaching? Looking at your talent? You can't just assume that, oh, David Andrews was really good last year. What if he sucks this year? Like, that's coaching. That's taking your talent and devising the best scheme and game plans and starting lineups or whatever.
Right, but they weren't doing that with their best talent. That's the point.
Isn't I don't
like
know.
Jacoby Brissett wasn't their best talented quarterback, and they didn't play him they played him for 5 weeks.
But
so that
I don't.
That was the plan, I think.
I don't know what they thought of the quarterbacks because they've said so much. I know Gerard Mayo likes to say,
"How about what we saw?"
Well, yeah, but that's us.
Yeah.
We don't get to make the decision. They see it their own way,
mm-hmm.
and they saw different things at different times. Like, let's just use...
But you just said you didn't believe Mayo when he said that Brissett gave him the best chance to win those first 5 weeks, right?
Yeah, I don't.
Okay, so if they thought that May gave him the better chance to win...
Who's they?
Mayo. That's and the rest of the... Well, Mayo first and foremost, but... Everybody.
I think Mayo would have started Drake May all along. I think there was a divide there.
I kind of think that, too.
Now, yeah. How big the divide was he one against 3-4, how that all played out... But I just don't believe, because they made it sound, when they started to emphasize plan, it almost wasn't outright to not answer questions. Well, we have a plan. We're
right.
not going to let you know the plan, but we have a plan. They almost made it sound like...
They do like to tell what the plan is, so it's not like that would be completely wrong, but yeah.
But I don't believe they had like benchmarks, like clear benchmarks of dates and performances and things of that nature. I think they were flying by the seat of their pants and adjusting as they went and even debating as they went. I think the collaboration... was probably debating this behind the scenes every single day. Even this week, when Mayo said, "I haven't had a full staff meeting yet," that was his answer mm-hmm. to the Greg Hill show on Monday morning
yep.
about the quarterback position. I think there was some truth to that. I think there was some truth that we're still debating. We're still figuring it out. So the plan is to figure it out when I have a staff meeting.
All right, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. I'll tell you who thinks this is the right move, and that is Houston Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud, who said that he thinks May is the most NFL-ready quarterback. Now, he said this before anybody played, so maybe he was rethinking this after watching Jaden Daniels for a couple of weeks. But that's what Stroud said. We'll hear that, and we'll talk about this matchup with the Houston Texans right after this. So that was C.J. Stroud back around the draft. I think that was actually during the draft. And he was talking with Bleacher Report right there. It's WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, you at 617-779-7937. C.J. Stroud thinks that Drake May is the most NFL-ready, arm talent, jumps off the page, good at scrambling, scrambles when he needs to, throws guys open, has rollout ability, different arm angles, etc., etc. Is Drake May the most NFL-ready quarterback in this draft?
That's hard to argue now because 6 weeks into the season, he hasn't played and the other guys look really good.
Sure, but that's maybe more indictment on the Patriots than it is on Drake May. So.
And if C.J. Stroud is right, then we're in for something, correct?
Yeah,
because if he's more NFL-ready than Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams and Bo Nix, aren't we about to see something?
Yeah.
See something special?
Yeah, definitely. And C.J. Stroud, by the way, was considered a very raw prospect coming out of Ohio State. I think he only played about as much as Drake May did. I think those two guys, maybe even less. Yeah, they both played a shockingly few amount of games compared to some of their counterparts who came out those 2 years. So I think that that's important to remember here, is that people looked at C.J. Stroud as a guy who was, you know, 19, 20 years old, whatever he was, and it was going to take a while for him to really acclimate and adjust to the NFL, and it did not. He was good right away. He was good on a team that I admittedly think has been compared to these Patriots way too much and way incorrectly. I think that they had a much better defense, much better offense. They picked two in the top three. It was a different situation, and I think one that a lot of people wanted to make that comparison with when they touted drafting Drake May third overall, which, whatever, it's a different argument, I guess, than what this is. But in that sense, you talk about a guy who was not really all that tested in college. He came into the NFL and dominated right away.
Yeah, and
maybe dominated is a little strong, but he was very good.
I think dominated is a...
For Stroud?
Yeah, for a young quarterback, I think that's pretty close to domination.
Yeah.
That's about as close as you can get. And, you know, it's funny now that he's going to see Drake May up close and personal. The thing that jumped out to me from those comments and also from Drake May earlier today, C.J. Stroud mentioned getting the ball out on time. Like, you can run and you can move, but both C.J. Stroud today in the clip we just aired and Drake May talked about get the ball out on time.
Yep.
I would argue Jacoby Brissett hasn't been getting the ball out on time very often, right?
Yeah.
I would say that's been a struggle. And I'm not just putting that on. Let's just say the Patriots offense hasn't been getting the ball out on time.
Sure.
Whether that's
the... He's been the guy doing it, but yeah.
Right, but, you know, are the guys running the right routes? Are they getting open at the right level, at the right time, the pass protection, all of it? If this offense can get the ball out on time because Drake May does it better, sees it better, isn't, you know, beaten down by the pressures and the hits that he's taken, that'll be a step right there. Forget about even making plays. Like, that's the next step. But just kind of looking like a timely offense, and that might help Alex Van Pelt, who I think has struggled, hasn't really found a way to inject any life into this offense. So, yeah, if you're a Patriots fan, that would fall in line with what I'm saying. Like, why would you be negative right now? C.J. Stroud, who is the measuring stick for instant impact rookie quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. Who don't have a lot of college experience.
Right, right. Perfect. And yes, Drake May did have more experience than C.J. Stroud by three games.
Is that right?
Three games. Wow. Because they both had, like, weird freshman year, a couple games here or there, and then they both started for 2 years, basically, and then came to the NFL. But if C.J. Stroud, who at that point, I mean, I don't know, maybe they share an agent. I should probably do a little research. Maybe there is, like, a connection behind the scenes that would have given him a reason to have a bias. But he's just doing pre-draft work there. He's just talking up draft picks. So he, and it wasn't the obvious one, because everybody else was on everybody else, right? Pretty much everybody said Drake May was the least pro-ready. Sit 2 years, Orlovsky, his footwork's not good, he hasn't started, he's young. The young thing's starting to bother me, too. Isn't that a good thing?
They don't have the same agent.
Perfect. So there's
David Mulugeta is C.J. Stroud's, and Drake May is with CAA.
Perfect.
A bunch of guys from CAA.
So, like, there's no obvious bias there. It's even better if he's actually saying it honestly just from what he sees on tape.
Yeah.
But the fact that Drake May is young, is that good or bad?
I think it's good.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think he could be one of those quarterbacks that in 3 years, you're like, he's been starting for 3 years, and some guy entering the league is the same age. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
It's a positive thing that he's young because he is good, because he is good enough. He was able to compete at a quicker level, I mean, at a quicker time frame at North Carolina. Go in as a freshman and then play, get the hell out of there. Like, that's how it's supposed to work.
Absolutely. And by the way, when you have to deal with your fifth-year option, assuming it gets to that with this kid, he's still going to be a young player in the league. He's not going to be 28 or 29. He's still going to be in his early to mid-20s, and that's a great position to be in if you're signing someone long-term.
It used to be a bad thing if quarterbacks were in college too long. It meant they weren't that good.
Right.
Because usually it was, you get a sniff, you play, get the hell out of there, right? You enter the draft early as a junior or whatever and get the hell. And I know some things have changed with transfers and NILs and COVID mixed up some of these guys. But it didn't used to be a good thing to not succeed at a place like Bo Nix. Didn't succeed. He was bad at Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
And then he succeeded when he went somewhere else. That used to be a kind of a bad thing, kind of a black mark against you. It was good to be 22 years old and
it's
come
one thing
off two
if you
seasons.
Were like behind Tim Tebow and so you go to Auburn like Cam Newton or something, but
right.
like if you just sucked somewhere and then transferred, that's different. I mean, it's the world we're living in right now. It's much easier to transfer. It's much easier to just jump from team to team each year, and that's something we're going to keep seeing. But I agree with you. I do think that there's different levels to that.
And I want a young quarterback because, as you just said, like he'll be younger when his contract comes up. Hell, it could mean if we hit on him, I get more years.
Yeah.
If he's not 25, maybe that gives me a 20-year career instead of a 15-year career or whatever age he gets to.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm just frustrated with all of the seemingly searching for reasons to not be happy with Drake May. Why he's not good, why it's not a good time, why he's not going to fit. Why does no one do the opposite? What happens if he's good? What happens if C.J. Stroud is right and he is NFL ready? What happens if he helps the offensive line because he gets the ball out on time or scrambles at the proper times?
I think we've been doing that.
Yes, but not enough people.
Jones and Keith have been doing that. I don't know if everybody else has, but we certainly have.
It's a problem if Jones is on the positive side of
things.
Isn't
that weird, by the way?
Right.
Isn't that super weird how like happy and excited? Jones is in here with pom-poms shooting off confetti guns today. I'm like, who is this guy? And I know he wanted me to play and he wanted him to draft him and everything else, but it was still, it was jarring to see that.
Boston needs to really evaluate itself if Adam Jones is more positive than a lot of the general public, because this is a time that everybody should be on a bandwagon together.
Yeah.
It's not a duck boat. It's a bandwagon.
617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones. Ish is in Trenton, New Jersey with a thought on Drake May. Go ahead, Ish.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So I got a prediction, and I got something I want to say also. So okay. My prediction is I think Drake May is going to be great, bro. I think he's going to come in and he's going to dominate, bro. Like, I think we're going to hang 40 on these guys, bro, on the Texans. I'm telling you.
Okay.
You feel me?
Sure.
Hope so.
And I think this is going to come back in the future and later on in this season because we're going to make the playoffs, bro. Like, it's going to be something like that special, like how you were saying earlier. It's going to be special, bro. And we're going to make the playoffs, and it's going to come back to bite us because then the conversation is going to go to, if we would have started Drake May in the beginning of the season, we would have had more wins, and we would have had a higher seed in the playoffs. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Ish, that's the – we were just talking about with the positive
negative. He's not
negative. That is the most positive call
I've
ever
heard. Shoot for the
stars. First of all, he's going to dominate right away, Drake May, and he's going to take this 1-4 team right to the playoffs. Mm. If they make it to the playoffs, no one's going to complain, I don't think. Although,
no,
you would be able to make the case of what the hell were you guys thinking not starting this kid for 5 weeks. That was a stupid idea. That was a stupid plan. Your guy's plan was bad. You're lucky you drafted this kid. That could reflect badly on them. If Drake May – and this is sort of a weird way of putting it, but if Drake May goes out there – and is what Ish just said, dominates right away. C.J. Stroud right away. Jaden Daniels right away. Doesn't that make the rest of these guys look like bozos for keeping them on the bench for 5 weeks? I think it would. I would say that.
It's
not just because I wanted him to play this whole time, but I mean, if he's dominant.
It calls into question their plan and their decision-making, but it doesn't make them look like bozos because it actually gives them long. They drafted him. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It'll stabilize the franchise because all of these guys.
It'll make it look like they didn't know what they had, though.
But. I am a believer that all of these people can be made to look like bozos. Like, Bill was kind of made to look like a bozo over the last couple of years, correct?
Sure.
And he might be the greatest coach of all time.
I think he had a lot to do with it, but yeah.
But that's my point. When the going gets tough, you bozo yourself. You know?
Gross.
Right? Yeah. You take it that way. 508.
Yes.
You all sound just like the same BS as Mac Jones.
What? We sound like the same...
No. Like saying the same things we said about Mac Jones?
No one said this because Mac Jones wasn't athletic. No one was lusting after his arm strength. When Mac Jones was playing, he was in like a win streak where they were a Super Bowl contender in the eyes of all these websites. And people were like, I'm not sure he's that good. There was a divide in Patriot Nation. Not everybody was on board with Mac Jones and his abilities.
Yeah, you know, I just got to keep working and got to get better and...
That's Mac Jones right there.
Yeah, really.
He was not well liked.
That wasn't actually Mac Jones. What was it?
No.
That was Ninko from a few weeks ago.
It was Ninkovich making fun of him. That's right. I was like, I knew that impression.
It's not as good as his Matt Light impression where he goes, hey, it's Matt Light.
That was pretty good. And it sounded just like Matt Light.
Or the Gronk laugh from last night.
That was tremendous. If you didn't see it, the latest episode of the Aaron Hernandez American Sports Story on FX was last night. They introduced Gronk, and that might be the highlight of the entire show. The guy that got to play Gronk, he doesn't really look like him that much, but he's got the voice down perfectly. The voice and the cadence and everything.
And like the mannerisms.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'd say that was so far has been the highlight of the series. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we'll take a quick football break as we dive into what we saw last night down in Sunrise, Florida. The Boston Bruins not ready to go here against the Panthers. Watch them raise their banner and then just got mollywopped for three periods. We'll get into all of that next.